Okay, I look rather gaunt. What should I say? Okay, I'll put the phone down. My name is Tom, and this is my city. Thank you. My mother said she took music lessons in a large town near the small town where she lived, and that she had seen a number of romantic movies which she wanted to emulate, the kissing scenes too, which she found very appealing. She was, I think, 16 or 17, and she began kissing her piano teacher, and they apparently had sex, and some months later she realized she was pregnant. She had no idea that kissing her sex had anything to do with having children. She had to leave the town and get a job during the Depression. She finally married a much older man who was a numbers runner for the mob, who she met while she was a manicurist in a barber shop. He married her to give the baby a father's name so it wouldn't be born out of wedlock. It was a boy, and they named it Tom. He insisted, as she told me, on having his husband's rights to have sex with her, even though that wasn't the intention of the marriage. And she became pregnant with my older sister. He left the house annoyed with her for becoming pregnant, even though she knew nothing about birth control, and he had insisted on having sex with her without protection. And she said while she was confined to bed in pregnancy, the baby crawled into the kitchen and got under the kitchen sink and ate some rat poison and died. My sisters believe she poisoned the baby. I want to believe it was an accident, but it was a very desperate moment in her life.
I was tired when I was shaving. I think it was yesterday, and I went in and sat on the kitchen chair, and I had what I have when I'm writing email when I'm tired. I drifted off and I put shaving cream all over the place. And there was no rhyme or reason. I had it on the collar. I didn't even take my shirt off. Actually, what I'm doing now, this is remarkably good, even for when I first had it. I sometimes had more shaking in my right hand, but I have, my left hand was always steady, and now it's not always, but at the moment they're both pretty steady.
But say in those days when, I don't know.
Oh, on the days where it's bad, and it was this morning, I couldn't have thought of shaving.
Because, I don't know, I never see you angry or something.
Well, sometimes I tear up papers. I tear up a whole bundle of papers without even looking to see if I needed any of them out of frustration because they've been there so long and I was having so much trouble sorting them.
But do you have any sense of, I don't know, say sadness over a life or
yes.
A part of a life that you used to have? But
yes. I I began experiencing that maybe even more intensely when I was a child and my family sold the family house and moved away. And well, they actually started leasing it first, and I watched every summer as we came back, everything changed and becoming accessible to me that just a few months before had been a sort of childhood refuge. Through the years, you fill rooms with pictures of countries, animals, friends, stars, and neighbors. Shortly before your death, you discover that these many lines trace the image of your own face. When I worked for an erotic fantasy club, people who appeared to be very hardened, they began to open up to me, a number of them. I remember one man who was considered certainly one of the two most attractive and desirable employees at the service, but was also considered a gold digger, as he sometimes called himself, told me how he became sick to the stomach when he saw a man cruising him, because he was repelled by the fact that people desired him for his physical appearance without wanting to know who he was. He actually didn't see himself as beautiful. He saw every blemish, every rash and pimple. He saw himself as very vulnerable emotionally and physically. One day he had been sharing with me his real feelings of love for someone. And then he began to sob. And I put my arms around him, held him. I felt, I knew where he was. I knew how hard it is to be vulnerable enough to fall in love, to risk and failing. Mike, can I see that? I was touched by his vulnerability, which wasn't what the world saw at all. Nor did he want them to see it when he composed himself and realized the other employees would be arriving soon.
He wiped the tears from his eyes and sat up and said, please don't tell the other guys about this.
Thank you.
I would say my homosexuality is inextricably linked to memories of my brother. I think we both had a sense that the other had feelings for our own sex and even for each other when we were growing up. Our family moved from location to location, so our most consistent friends and playmates were each other. And as we reached adolescence, I think we began to feel some erotic feelings about one another. Was much more well-read than I and could dominate any conversation with most people just by force of his vast range of knowledge. I partly resented this growing up and even resented it in seeing him again, but I felt the force of it, and I realized he used it for erotic purposes too. I had known two brothers who had been lovers when they were growing up. The older had seduced the younger. That had been latently in our relationship, and maybe we should experiment to see what acting on it would be like. He was very put off by the idea, and as we were going to bed, he quietly said he had thought about it and that he wanted to try it. And we did. I knew he was a top, so I bought him. And then on another occasion, I came back to the hotel room from a party. He was showering. I joined him in the shower, and we had sex for a longer time, some more forcefully again. And there was a third time, and then we went home at Christmas to visit our mother and her new boyfriend, and we perceived each other as brothers again. Thank you.
Peter and I were moving through countries whose languages we didn't speak. We didn't speak one another's languages very well. We began to exchange, without realizing it, a lot of mental energy with each other, so that when we pulled apart and came back to Berlin separately, I found that I was hearing other people's thoughts. When I sat in a cafe, it was like being a little paper boat on an ocean of mental energy. I remember that on one occasion in particular, where a man came up to me after he must have been thinking the introduction to his opening line over and over, and suddenly I realized he was saying it to me and I had to answer.
One of the pleasures of the fetish scene is that you don't have to be beautiful to be a narcissist. All of the ugly kids from high school could have their day in the spotlight. Razorhead was the first time I saw him shave someone. It was a man who came from San Francisco, specifically to New York, for the first time to meet my brother and be shaved by him. When he'd created stripes and checkerboard patterns of hair and shaved scalp, he put a collar on the man, dressed him in army fatigues, and took him out to a bar. I made a high contrast black and white print so that the black areas would be bled through with white from the negative. I began to see white light around his body. Later, when I was doing meditation, I realized it was the outer edge of what most transcendental yoga meditation perceives as the auras around the body, the rainbow of color fields, the outermost being the white light. I also talked to my brother about this when I arrived at the hospital the day he died. He was unconscious and in intensive care on a respirator. The hospital staff said that he'd reached the point where they suspended the rules about one person visiting at a time, and they also encouraged us to talk to him because they said that even if he didn't respond, he could probably hear. They said that the voices of loved ones sometimes brought patients back, even when there was nothing they could do medically for them. I told him many things, but then I began to talk about the light. I asked him if he could see the light, and I told him he could go into the light. If he wanted to, he could swim back to the shore where I was and his friend Howard and Andy and Andy's friend Peter, who had come to show him his new green-dyed mohawk haircut. And I told him that I wanted to show him some old pictures that I'd brought of us when we were children. But if he was too tired, to just let himself drift into the light. And while I talked, I stroked his arm. At one point, while I was stroking his arm, his pulse began to raise, but later the medical staff told me that the doctors had administered a stimulant, and when it only raised momentarily, they knew he was going to slip away. Everything in this world is constantly changing. Eventually, everything is gone, or not what it was. Our attachment to it causes pain and joy, satisfaction and frustration. Practicing at non-attachment is a preparation to deal with the gradual loss of everything. I write this as one who cried and wailed with grief at the death of my cat Spider. I am writing these thoughts because they relate to that moment in my kitchen when we speak and what happened to us. Hope to talk to you soon. All my love, Tom. Thank you.
I had a dream that I was riding in the back seat of the family car, and my mother and father were in the front seat. My father was driving as usual. My brother was sitting behind him. I was sitting behind my mother. And I suddenly wanted to talk to my father. I thought, I haven't talked to him for years. And when I woke up, I burst into tears, realizing he was dead. It seems rather comical, but it was the first time I felt, allowed myself to feel the grief. It was the first time in a long time that I'd been able to close the door and be by myself. My sister remarked, you know, I haven't seen you shed a tear since I've been here, when she came for a funeral, because I felt I had to be there for the other people in the house. They were all hanging on to me crying, and I felt I couldn't. But I do remember the casket was in front of the altar, and everyone walked by to take one last look at the body. But my mother needed support. My brother and I held onto her arms to walk her to the casket. When she got to the casket, she bent down and kissed the glass over his face. Cried, "Jack, Jack!" Began to sob uncontrollably. He would raise up from the casket. My brother and I had to pull her back. And she walked, leaning on from one of us to the other, out of the temple. death wasn't even a frontier anymore. Just something he drifted across in the course of walking from his bed to the window. Everything was turning white. Then he realized it was snow.